Here we go with the MSO News Sports Baseball Insider, Andy Carboni. Hello, Andy.
Good morning, Bill. The 2023 season for the Local 9 has been put in the books.
And so it ends in what way, Andy? It ends without being in the playoffs again this year is how it ends.
And it also ends in last place once again. So they finished the 2023 season with a record of 78-84. Again, that's last place in the AL East, 23 games behind the Orioles.
Well, what happened in the last few days with this team?
Well, the season came to an end. Last we spoke on Thursday, the Orioles shut out the Red Sox 2-0. The Orioles clinched the title for the American League crown for the first time in the Eastern Division since 2014. The Orioles also won their 100th game for the first time since 1980. So the Orioles reaching some milestones against the Red Sox.
Absolutely. All right. Let's see here. Tim Wakefield, is that where we're going next year, Andy?
Yeah. Well, just to wrap up what happened during the last few games of the regular season,
okay.
The Sox did snap their five-game losing streak on Friday of last week, shutting out the Orioles 3-0. After the game, Red Sox manager Alex Cora said that Chris Sale, he'll be the opening day starter in 2024. We're getting ahead of ourselves, Bill. On Saturday, the Orioles came back to beat the Sox 5-2. Then the Sox on Sunday finished out the campaign with a 6-1 win over the Orioles. Rafael Devers did collect his 100th RBI in that game.
Andy, you know, that Cora comment, I did not hear that. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard almost from him, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, first he's saying he's definitely going to be back next year as manager, even though we don't have a new general manager in tow at the moment. He also said he's going to have part of the decision-making and who the new general manager is going to be, and then he says that Chris Sale is going to start opening day in 2024. I don't even know if Chris Sale is going to have his arm on his shoulder in 2024 to start the season. Who knows?
Well, all right. I'm an open-minded kind of guy. I like to think anyways. I could almost see how he could do it, but it does seem kind of crazy. Oh, my God. Especially if it's Tim Wakefield. If it was Tom Seaver at the end of the 1969 season, I could see them saying he will be our opening day starter in 1970. But, no, come on. I don't know.
Yep. Or if you had someone like Roger Clemens on the roster, he'll be the Pedro or something to that effect.
All right. If people could not relate to my example, I get it. Okay, those two work, too.
Oh, I don't want to date you, Bill.
Yeah, exactly. I stand corrected. All right. All right. Well, go look up in the history, folks. It's history, folks. All right. So on a much sadder note, a tragic note, the Tim Wakefield story.
Yeah, that was a tough one to hear right before Sunday's game. The Sox announcing that Team Hall of Famer and SN broadcaster, former pitcher Tim Wakefield, passed away at the age of 57 from brain cancer. The knuckleballer spent 17 of his 19 years in the majors with the Red Sox. He finished his career with 200 wins. Helped lead the Red Sox to World Series championships in 2004 and 2007. Earlier this week, the Red Sox confirmed that Wakefield was ill and joined the family in asking for privacy when his condition was made public by former teammate Curt Schilling without permission. Red Sox said on social media Sunday that Wakefield embodied the true goodness and gave so much to the game.
You know, Andy, I heard a story that Wakefield was one of those guys that if somebody at Dana-Farber wanted him to stop by and see a kid, for you know, obvious reasons there, that he was always there, you know. And so it's just obviously a very tragic story for someone that was really given back to his from what he was able to do as a baseball player, which is not insignificant, being able to reinvent yourself as a knuckleballer, really.
Yeah, maybe people may not know that when he was drafted by the Pittsburgh Pirates, he was drafted as a first baseman. And obviously in the minors, his hitting was not up to par, so they told him, you're not going to make it in the majors as a hitter. And his minor league manager at the time said, why don't you try throwing that knuckleball that you seem to be throwing quite a bit during warm-ups before we start having practices and games. And he went with it, and next thing you know, he was pitching for the Pirates and came to the Red Sox, and the rest is history. Certainly, some of that's going to be very missed.
Well, I won't go into it too much, but clearly the knuckleball, very unique and very un-2020s these days, I guess, for sure. But
well, what is interesting, on Sunday, Mariners pitcher George Kirby did do a little tribute to Tim Wakefield. He broke out his knuckleball, which he uses in practice to fool around with, and he threw it multiple times during the game on Sunday, the Mariners' last game of the season, as a tribute to Wake.
All right. You know, you've done a feature with us a number of times over the course of the summer, and now as summer continues here in October, at least for another day or so here, you've been updating us on former Red Sox players and how they are doing now. So go to it, Andy. What do you got for us?
Well, some numbers out there that would have helped quite a bit for the local 9 in 2023. They helped other teams. Mookie Betts of the Dodgers, of course, batted 307, 39 home runs, 107 RBI. J.D. Martinez, also the Dodgers, batted 271, 33 home runs, 103 RBIs. Nathan Eovaldi, the Rangers, went 12-5 with a 3.63 ERA. And he helped the Rangers yesterday defeat the Tampa Bay Rays in the wild card round of the playoffs. Xander Bogaerts, the Padres, 285 average, 19 home runs, 58 RBIs. And Michael Walker of the Padres went 14-4 with a 3.22 ERA. Definitely all those numbers would have helped the Red Sox in 2023. But again, it is what it is.
Well, Andy, it's good to know the Red Sox ownership is singularly focused on baseball. Is that right, Andy?
Oh, you would love to think that would be the case, Bill, but now they're looking to buy into the PGA Tour. Fenway Sports Group's one of at least six organizations in North America seeking a minority stake in the professional golf organization. Fenway Sports also owns the Pittsburgh Penguins, Liverpool Football Club, and other properties. It also owns Boston TLG, one of six teams in the Indoor Golf League, founded by Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy.
All right.
Spreading their money around, but it should be put one place, I think, but who am I?
All right, okay. Well, the Red Sox have been shooting a little above par, I think, on the baseball field this year, for sure. All right, and that's not the good side to be on par, Andy. I don't know if you're following golf at all, but there you go. all right, let's take us through Major League Baseball playoffs underway. Give us an update.
Well, if they are, both the American National League best of three wildcard matchups wrapped up in two-game sweeps in the American League yesterday. Rangers rolled over the Rays, 7-1 St. Petersburg. Game one in Tropicana Field on Tuesday had an attendance of 19,704. That was the smallest postseason attendance since the 1919 World Series. The Twins shut out the Blue Jays 2-0 in Minnesota yesterday.
I think there was a pandemic that year, wasn't there, Andy? I remember that.
But still, it's quite a stat. We put the pandemic aside, but that was still quite a
okay. Quite a stat. Well, I mean, the pandemic explains it. I don't know how they explained it in Tampa, but there you go. I'm sorry to interrupt. There you go. Go.
That's all right. The Twins shut out the Blue Jays 2-0 yesterday in Minnesota. The National League last night, Diamondbacks beat the Brewers 5-2 in Milwaukee. Phillies won 7-1 over the Marlins in Philadelphia, so both the American and National League Division Series get underway on Saturday as the Orioles host the Rangers, the Astros entertain the Twins, the Braves bring in the Phillies, and the Dodgers are home to face the Diamondbacks.
All right, Andy, now this is also one of the best parts of the report, the Major League Baseball news updates from obviously not the Red Sox, but around Major League Baseball. What do you have?
Well, last Thursday, the Orioles, as well as clinching the American League East title that night, they also announced they signed a lease to stay at Camden Yards for another 30 years. On Friday, former Red Sox outfielder Gabe Kapler, he was fired as manager of the Giants after four seasons. On Sunday, the Mets fired manager Buck Showalter. Also on Sunday, Tigers slugger Miguel Cabrera closed out his Hall of Fame career. The 40-year-old ends his 21-year career with two AL MVPs, four batting titles, and seven Silver Slugger Awards. He became the first Triple Crown winner since Yaz back in 1967. Cabrera did it in 2012. Cabrera also one of just three players in history to have 3,000 hits, 500 home runs, and 600 doubles, joining Hank Aaron and Albert Pujols. He spent 16 years in Detroit after playing his first five seasons with the Marlins. On Monday, Guardians manager, former Red Sox manager Terry Francona officially announced his retirement. Francona won the World Series with the Sox in 2004 and 2007. Guardians have said that Francona will remain in the organization, but have not said in what capacity. Also, earlier this week, the Angels fired manager Phil Nevin, and the Padres yesterday announced that Bob Melvin will return as manager next season.
All right, good stuff. Andy, what else? You have anything else for us here today on the Baseball Insider?
Well, Major League Baseball has more fans attending games thanks to on-field rule changes this past season. Commissioner Rob Manfred told the media that more than 70 million fans visited ballparks when the regular season ended on Sunday, the highest number of fans attending games since 2017. Introduction of the pitch clock, which brought games down by 24 minutes to an average of 2 hours and 40 minutes. That's the lowest game average for time since 1985. He felt that was a big factor in the 9.2% attendance increase over last year. Changes in defensive shifts also been credited with more on-field interest, while new social spaces and technology innovations have helped the off-field fan experience.
Well, you saved 24 minutes watching baseball. I thought it might have been better than that, but maybe it's because the Red Sox games have been so long. I mean, they've got to be on the upper end of that, you know. But
no question about it. It seemed like there were many Red Sox games going 3.5 to 4 hours at times. So Yeah, but still, they shaved off 24 minutes. That's what they were looking to do, and I'm sure they'd like to shave a few more if they can. But, definitely the flow of games definitely has been improving this year, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I got to give them credit for that. As far as those other switches, I'm not sure I'm a big fan of those. But on the other hand, who knows? The pitch clock obviously worked out very well, I think. Yeah,
no doubt about that.
All right, Andy. Well, it's good talking with you as we start on a foggy Thursday here, but take care, and we'll talk again soon.
Looking forward to it as usual.
There he is, baseball insider Andy Carbone here on MSONewsSports.com.